We're going to really just look at one passage of Scripture today. If you turn to Exodus 33, I'm tying up something I've been sharing in the last couple of weeks. And basically the topic is paying the price for power, part 3. The last 2 weeks that I've been sharing this, I've been talking about a phenomena of the Spirit that many people may not be aware of. And that is that the closer you get to serious power of the Holy Ghost, serious power, the greater the cost, price, also the greater the consequence in your life for rebellion, but also the greater anointing. And last couple of weeks I've shown a picture of the tabernacle, you know, the temple, the schematic of the tabernacle had three parts, the outer court, the inner court, and the Holy of Holies. And so it is that as you get closer and closer, there are, if you, I like to look at it like there are outer court Christians. Outer court Christians. People that are satisfied with a certain level of power that doesn't require a whole lot in their life. All right? And as a result, they can, the judgments in their life, they tend to get away with a lot of stuff. There's really requirements, anointings, and there's low anointing. And frankly, I believe that's where most believers are. You know, there isn't, in America, most middle class, they love Jesus, they're saved, born again, but, you know, they just don't really aspire to very much power. We have so much material things to draw on in our culture. We don't have the need for supernatural power as others may in other cultures, perhaps. The anointings are lower, and the requirements are lower, and so are the judgments are lower. We tend to get away. God's got a lot of mercy. That's kind of out-of-court Christian. But I believe the Holy Spirit wants to draw us into the inner court and even to the Holy of Holies. We live a far more anointed life where we have access to a far greater anointing of the Holy Ghost to, you know, see the captive set free, heal the sick. But along with that higher anointing comes a higher responsibility, just like anything else. Unto whom much is given, of him shall much be required. And the requirement would be more sacrificial, consecrated walk, and at the same time a greater judgment when you're in rebellion. And we saw the examples of Moses, who was 40 years meek and walked with the Lord and did all the right things, it seemed. And one time he blew it, you know, it seems like one time the man blew it. You know, he went and got mad at the people and, you know, you bunch of rebels disobeyed the Lord. And God said, that's it, you can't go in the promised land. You go, man, give the guy a break. Or like David, who, you know, carried the ark of the Lord, and he did something a little different. Instead of having the Levites carry it on stakes, on poles, he built a little cart to drive it up there. And because he did that, some guy went to stable, and he was killed on the spot. And all the time that David numbered the people of Israel, Satan tempted him, and he numbered out of insecurity. He wanted to know how many troops he had. So he numbered the people of Israel. And God smote him. I mean, 70,000 people died. And you go, what's the deal with this great consequential judgment on David and Moses? Well, the answer is because unto whom much is given, of him shall much be required. And when you've got the stature and responsibility of Moses, your rope's going to be a whole lot shorter. And you can get a whole away with a whole lot more stuff when you're not as responsible. Can I, amen? How many of y'all before you were single? Or let's say those who are married now and have kids, there's a certain level of responsibility you put in your life because you realize my behavior, if left unchecked, will affect my kids adversely. Amen? Whereas before you were married, you know, hey, go to town, you know. This is going to affect but yourself. There's something about greater responsibilities, greater anointings brings greater judgment. And the truth is, few today desire the heart, mind, thoughts, and ways of the Lord. Look at like the multitudes in following Jesus. They wanted the bread. The disciples seemed to be caught up in personal ambition, but it was only the few. It was just a few people around Jesus really had his heart. One of them was the woman who anointed him, remember, with the alabaster box of ointment. And she had a revelation, or Peter and John. So I really believe that there's a progressive stages of growth. So the shorter ropes goes along with the greater power, anointing, and exercise of authority. Now, isn't that exciting? How many of y'all want your rope shorter? Well, that's not a good way to answer it. How many of y'all want greater power, greater anointing, lay hands on the sick and God shows up. Okay, do you understand? When you want that, God's going to shorten your rope. One goes with the other. Hello? And at the same time, to access that necessitates a greater commitment, a greater requirement. You know, you just can't pig out on Cheetos every day, right? You just can't have all the sugar and junk day in and day out and pray maybe, you know, when you get time, but pray during the commercials, you know. Intercede during the commercials as you pig out. Folks, I'm telling you, first of all, if the TV is in your life in any predominant way, folks, you ain't ever going to experience Holy Ghost power. That thing's a big, like a big sucking drain. It just sucks the life out of you spiritually. It's a demon. It is a sewer pipe. A sewer pipe into the house. There's a requirement to cut off, to be separate, come out from among them and walk with me, says the Lord. Be not conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. I think one version reads, don't let the world squeeze you into its mold, there in Romans 12. But present your bodies a living sacrifice. It's interesting, it says present your bodies. It doesn't say present your spirits. Oh, well, I've given my spirit to the Lord. My spirit is laid out before him. My spirit seeketh him in the night. My body, it's asleep, it's pigging out. But my spirit is in high places. What does it say? Present your what? Your bodies. God knows we live in the physical realm. God has nothing against materialism, material world. He created the material world. You know these Hindus that think you have to transcend materialism? God created the material world. There will always be a material world as part of his universal plan. But he's called us to overcome this fallen world and overcome the flesh. You know, the mining of the flesh is death. The mining of the spirit is life and peace. So it has to do with the body, to chasten the body. Paul said, I keep my body in check, and I bring it into subjection, lest by any means when I preach to others, I myself should be a castaway. In fact, in the Greek there, in 1 Corinthians 9, he says, I treat my body as a slave. And he says, I bring it into subjection. He says, I chasten. I die daily. Paul says that the dying of the Lord Jesus may be accomplished, that the life, in 2 Corinthians 3, that the life of Jesus may be manifested in my body. Amen? Isn't this great preaching? Sacrificing to your body. Amen? You know what the body wants to do? I need to do a whole series on the flesh, on the body. You know, you want to be honest with you? You know what our real problem is not demons? How many of y'all know that? Your real problem is not demons. Your real problem is you. And your flesh, and your laziness, and your passivity, and your presumption. Can that amen? And the demons just come and take advantage of where we've given ground to the devil. Give no place to the devil, he says. And you know, there's something about our body. It likes sleep. It likes to eat. It likes to sit around. You know? Amen? And the problem is, when you allow your body to rule your life, okay, you may be smugly satisfied on one level, but do you know your spirit is smothered? Your spirit is stifled? Your spirit is limited? And you will not have many occasions to glimpse the eternal. Maybe in a worship service, you know, you come here and you glimpse it, but on an ongoing basis, one goes with the other. For the passivity of allowing your body to rule, you know, other stuff comes in the soul. Fears and doubts and worries and anxieties and frustrations and discouragements and anger and fits of anger and fits of shutting down. All these things manifest in your life, in your emotions, and your mind have its way when your body is passive. See, one goes with the other. But if you're sick and tired of being sick and tired, if you're really sick of living a passive, emotionally roller coaster Christianity, then you finally recognize the only way I'm going to get out is I've got to take the cross. I've got to get on the cross. Which means deny myself. Amen? It's the only way that that works. I mean, you got a new believer as well. You really want to be saved. You really want to come to Christ and be born again. Because when you're born again to Christ, everything will be wonderful and happy and joyous and just pink elephants and blue skies and wonderful flowers. And then you get raptured. You know, and they come in, but they never read the fine print. To come into the glories of the Spirit means self-denial. Getting up early, maybe sacrificing sleep. Well, the Holy Ghost wakes you up at 2 a.m. Get up and seek God. Sacrificing food, denying yourself, putting disciplines in your life, exercising. You know, there's nothing wrong with exercise. But I really believe what Paul said, I keep my body under. I really believe he means exercising. I now, this summer, this month, have gone 3 years in exercising every week. I started when I turned 50. And it's something about turning 50, it did it. Okay, I guess I better start exercising you. And my daddy passed away at 74 from complications from smoking. But I thought he never exercised, okay? And he fell once and he hurt his back and his back went out. And I thought, you know, my dad, he was just kind of a, you know, his dad, he was an engineer and did everything from the mine. But he didn't have much bodily exercise. And I thought, I don't want to end up like my dad. And, you know, I want to live beyond 74. I'm going to exercise. So it's gotten down about twice a week. You know, I lift weights, I ride a bike, I run, I have a treadmill, trying to exercise, keep my body up, get my, what's that when you get your heart beat, you know, get your cardiovascular, try to do that, try to exercise. I'm not, maybe, all I know is maybe I'm not doing as well as I could, but thank God I'm doing what I'm doing. I exercised last night. It feels good. I feel a whole lot better, a lot more energy. I find myself not having to eat the junk that I've once eaten. I've tried to refrain from more and more of the junk. I still have my times. But pray, you know, something about exercising, your body literally doesn't want as much. And when you eat better. So, you know, it's all about taking care of yourself. Amen? Physically, rising up early, and fasting. And as you know, I've asked us to do some fasting. But the reason I'm asking us to do fasting is not just some generic reason, but there's a specific reason here. Somebody is hurting, seriously. And you know what? We got to call on heaven to come down with power so that someone can be rescued. Amen? And, you know, it's and like our sister came up and shared some needs down the street. You know, that we're surrounded with needs. Amen? If the Lord notices that we're willing to look beyond ourselves, he will show us those needs. Amen? It may be one of the reasons we're not seeing the needs is because we're not really willing to look at them. All we look at them, in fact, did you know there's a proverb? Keep your finger there, but there's a proverb. I read this week, and it's very convicting. Let's see. It's one of those ones you turn the page real quick when you read the verse, you know. Listen to this verse. Proverbs 24:11. If you forbear to deliver those that are drawn to death and those that are ready to be slain, if you say, behold, I didn't know about it, does he not, this not he that ponders the heart consider it? And he that keeps your soul, does he not know it? And shall not he render to every man according to his works? What he's saying, if you see a need and you blow it up, and you say, well, somebody else, you know, be warmed and filled, you know. And he says, if you forbear, if you don't go out there and do what you need to do, he says, the Lord sees it. And you know, that's going to be our eternal judgment. He says that. He says, for when I was sick, you did not visit me. When I was in prison, when I was naked, you did not clothe me. Lord, when did we do that? We never. He said, in so much that you did not do it to one of the least of these, you did not do it to me. Amen? Christianity is all about God meets your needs. God fills your cup so you can pour it out to others. So in Exodus 33, to tie this principle up today, verse 1, and the Lord said to Moses, depart and go up hence, you and the people which you brought up out of the land of Egypt, to the land which I swore to Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, unto your seed will I give it. Now I want you to notice very carefully, you've probably never seen in this verse before. And I will send an angel before you. And I will drive out the Canaanite, the Amorite, the Hittite, the Perizzite, the Hivite, and the Jebusite, unto the land flowing with milk and honey. For I will not go up in the midst of you, for you are a stiff-necked people, lest I consume you in the way. And when the people heard these tidings, they mourned. And no man put on him his ornaments. For the Lord had said unto them, say to the children of Israel, you stiff-necked people, I will come up unto you in the midst of you in a moment and consume you. Therefore now put off your ornaments from you, that I may know what I will do unto you. Now, what God is saying, I don't know if you've ever seen this, he's saying, when you go, okay, into the promised land, I am not going to go with you. Do you see that? He says, I, verse 3, will not go with you, lest I consume you. He said, I will send my angel. I'm going to send a big old angel to take you in. You don't want me to go. You see, if I come, you will be consumed. Now, this is shortly after they got out of Egypt. This is before the 40 years wandering, mind you. This is shortly. Do you know God's original plan was to go out of Egypt and into the promised land? Did you know that was the original plan? It wasn't to wander 40 years. Amen? So he said, shortly before, after they came out of Egypt, I'm going to send an angel before you. You don't want me to go. He says, lest I consume you in the way. For you're stiff-necked, verse 5, you're stiff-necked people, and I'll come into the midst of you in a moment and consume you. Now, what that means is burn you up with fire. You don't want me to go. That's what he's saying. You know why? Why would the Lord say that? Why would God, Jehovah God, say, I don't want to go with you, but I'll send an angel? Because he knew where they were at that point. They wanted inner court anointings and blessings, but outer court commitment and consecration. They wanted all the blessings of the presence of God, but they didn't want to pay the price. He knew their heart. We see that indicated. They were full of baby. They were full of childlessness. They had a lot of Egypt in them. Remember that? All the times, all the rebellion that came up through the book of Numbers and through the book of Exodus. Remember all the childishness there? We don't have any water. Crying about water, crying about bread, crying about this, whining about that. You know, they just finished worshiping golden calves. My God, Moses disappears for a few weeks. All right, let's worship a calf. That's the God that took us out. So, I mean, God said, look, you don't want me there. Because where you are, if I come in the midst of you, I will consume you. You will regret me coming among you. That's what the Lord said. But you know what? Verse 15, they insisted. Look at verse 15. And this shows you the heart of the Lord. Moses said, if your presence does not go with me, do not carry us up hence. For wherein shall it be known here that I and my people have found grace in your sight? Is it not that you go with us? So shall we be separate, I and your people, from all the people that are upon the face of the earth. Now I want you to understand, Moses said, no, Lord, we want you to go. In fact, if you don't go, we don't want to go. You follow? He wasn't catching the thought that the Lord said, I'm going to consume you. So look what the Lord said in verse 17. And the Lord said to Moses, I will do this thing also that you have spoken, for you have found grace in my sight, and I know you by name. So the Lord said, okay, I'll go, Moses. You want me to go? Jehovah God? Not just the angel of the presence of the Lord, but God himself? You want me to go with you into the promised land? Let's go. And guess what happened? Every man of that generation carcass died in the wilderness over the next 40 years. Am I right? Why? Because he came among them and he consumed them. You see, they wanted the blessings of God's presence, but they didn't want to pay the price. And when the price came down, you know, it was that Caleb and Joshua got up and said, let's go into the promised land and get bread for us. We can take on. And we're like, no, we can't. There's giants in the land. And we're just little grasshoppers. They're going to squish us. Ah! And the Lord looked down and said, I told them they didn't want me here. But I'm here with them now. So guess what? The judgment, they have, you know, they wanted the short rope. Well, they had one. He says, okay, for that, every day that the spies were in the land, 40 days will be a year you're going to wander until your carcasses die in the wilderness. So what is the message here? That when the Lord comes, he comes with a blazing jealousy and a consuming fire of holiness. And listen to this. God doesn't leave part of himself behind. You know, he doesn't. He comes with who he is. Amen? You know, the Lord is serious. He is so tolerant and gracious and faithful and loving. I remember one time I was involved with a preacher in this ministry, and the Lord was using me in the things I was involved in the ministry of deliverance at the time. I think is a prophetic thing to this gentleman's ministry. And I'm convinced of it because it was good fruit where he was not aware and cognizant of the things of the Spirit in that area. And God was using me in certain ways in the people I was with. And I mean, we finally had an altercation, me and this gentleman, where it was coming down to whether he was going to embrace the things of the supernatural, particularly in the area of spiritual warfare and casting demons out of people, or was going to push that off to a lesser, you know, not predominant at all. And I remember the response he made to me was, the Lord is doing so many things. In other words, because of all that God was doing, there was no way he was missing the boat. In other words, what God is doing, there's no way I'm missing the boat because I see God doing all these things in my ministry. And I remember leaving that situation and, you know, time transpired and God led other ways. But, you know, that's never left me. And what the Holy Spirit whispered to me was that guy looked at the grace, the kindness, the provision, the mercy, the love, the forgiveness, the blessing of God in his ministry as testimony that he was where God wanted him. But all of that is not testimony. That's where God wants you. That's testimony that we have a loving God that meets us where we are. Can I amen? That we have a God that will, when the sparrow falls, he'll fall with it. We have a God that will change our diapers to the rapture. See? We have a God who will continue to nurse us in nursery school and teach us in grammar. All alive, and he will love. You know, a parent loves their 2-year-old, their 8-year-old, just as much as their 35-year-old. Amen? That's how God is. But he looked at what was happening as testimony, and I think that's a mistake. Because frankly, the ministry he was involved in was more out of court than in a court. The ministry I was trying to encourage him was going to require greater accountability, greater judgments, but greater anointing. And he looked at what God was doing as testimony. And I really believe it's unhealthy to ever get to the point where you think you're somehow where God wants you. I really believe blessed are those that hunger and thirst. That if we ever sit on our laurels and somehow think that we're where God wants us, dude, we're sliding back. Are y'all with me? I mean, I don't think we have a clue. This church, I think we're maybe finally getting into grammar school. Yeah. First grade. Seriously. Clueless. I mean, I'm serious. We're just barely making it. Maybe first, second grade. You know, sitting down with that big chief tablet with the big pencil, you're learning how to scrawl. So who wants to have inner court anointings and blessings? All right, raise your hand. If you want to have inner court anointings and blessings, who is willing to pay the price with inner court commitments, consecrations, and sacrifices? One goes with the other. The Lord's serious. It's really a transaction. You know? Buy the truth and sell it not. It's a transaction. What do you want? Heard somebody once say, you get as much God as you want. Seek and you shall find. Pay the price. Count the cost. But I tell you what, guys. God has so many things for us. And I think he wants to bless us. We've been through a couple of things lately as a body. Things have been kind of boring and stale for a few months, and I sense the Holy Ghost starting to stir the pot a little bit. And I'm excited. Praise God. We had kind of a rough time first part of the year here. You know, I went off to Bolivia, and there was some serious spiritual warfare, and like we had a breathing time. And now, praise God, I said, Lord, please don't let us sit around too long. You know, push us out there on the edge. Amen? Amen? Let's all stand. All right. Jesus. Okay, Lord Jesus, as we commit as a body to seek you, we want to make a transaction with you, Lord. Lord, I pray you'd send the Holy Ghost conviction, the weight of the Holy Spirit in our lives, in our daily lives, to draw us closer to the cross of Jesus Christ. Father, we're willing, weak though we are, to be drawn closer to a deeper consecration with you. Now, Father, we pray in return you accordingly would grant to us the anointings, O Lord, to see the captive set free, Lord, to lay hands on the sick and they shall recover. In your mercy, Father, please, whatever you have to do, help us not to think it's cheap. Lord Jesus, you paid a mighty price, Father. We're willing to pay the price.